In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a teenager, I really enjoyed roller coasters. I'd wait in long lines for the Rebel Yell twin roller coaster at King's Dominion in Virginia. This is a huge wooden roller coaster similar to the Racer at King's Island. And it was a thrill to ride, that anticipatory clicking up the hill and all the shaking and rattling as it sped down the hill and all the twists and turns. After waiting in such a long line, it seemed like the ride was over so quickly. And I'd be sad to hear the sound of the air brakes and feel the car slow down as it came back into the station. The ride was over too soon. That's what I thought when I was 14. Now, if I ride a roller coaster, there is no more welcome sound than the air brakes announcing the end of the ride. Roller coasters now feel like they are rearranging my internal organs. And all I can think about when the car is moving is, please, let this be over. I just want to get off. Peter and the other disciples think they have a pretty good thing going with Jesus. Jesus is amazing. As Jesus tells John the Baptist's disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, Old Testament prophecy is being fulfilled. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. Jesus is the real deal. He's causing quite a stir in Judah and Galilee. There's a lot of talk about Jesus on the streets. Who is he? Where did he come from? In our gospel reading today, we find Jesus and his disciples heading north on the road to the Roman city of Caesarea Philippi, about 40 miles north of Jesus' home base in Capernaum, which is on the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus turns the conversation to his own identity. And on the way, he asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples respond, "John the Baptist." And others say, "Elijah." And others say, "One of the prophets." People are obviously confused. They know that Jesus is someone special, but they are not sure who he really is. The people are confused. Well, what about the disciples? And Jesus asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Peter and the disciples know better than the other people. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus isn't one of the prophets. Jesus fulfills prophecy. The disciples seem to be on the right track. But what does it mean to be the Christ? And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. This Jesus roller coaster ride was going pretty good, but now for Peter, things have gone off the rails. No, 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 no. What kind of Christ does Jesus think he is? This is not going to work for anyone. A suffering Christ, a rejected Christ, a dying Christ, I don't think so. And so Peter's going to set Jesus right. This is not the ride that Peter signed up for. So Peter takes charge and rebukes Jesus. And Jesus does not listen to Peter, and instead, Jesus rebukes Peter harshly. "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Peter's trying to take charge of Jesus, and so Jesus sets him straight. "Get behind me," which, interestingly, is the same word Jesus used earlier when he called Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." "Follow me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." God's ways are not Peter's ways. God's ways are not your ways. do not take charge of Jesus. Do not try to lead Jesus. Get behind him. Follow Jesus through suffering and rejection and cross and resurrection, even though it can be a rough ride. Like Peter, lots of folks today would rather skip the cross. The cross is shameful, gory, horrible. A bloody, beaten, naked man writhing in excruciating agony, trying to breathe while nailed hand and foot. It's a shocking sight. It's something you want to run away from, something you're tempted to reject. This is a ride you want to get off of. But it is in this suffering that Jesus shows his love for you. The cross is love. Jesus is dying for your sins. Jesus is dying because of his unending love for you. Peter got so sidetracked by Jesus' suffering and death that he could not hear Jesus say that he would rise again. Death got in the way of resurrection. The awfulness of the cross got in the way of Peter understanding who Jesus really is and what he came to do. And Jesus' teaching is not just for Peter, but for all those who follow Jesus. And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life?" Jesus calls each of you to take up your cross and follow him. Christian life is not promised to be an easy ride, a smooth ride, no promise of an easy, prosperous life. Suffering is part of Christian life. St. Paul in our epistle reading teaches that suffering is useful. He says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And what is God's love? The next verse tells us. "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." You need Jesus' cross in order to get forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You need Jesus' cross. And this is a big problem for so much of so-called Christianity today. There are so many people adopting a crossless Christianity. So many people want to reject the cross of Christ and create a new religion that's therapeutic and encouraging, a new religion that's all about success and happiness with no sacrifice, no suffering. It's all about how God loves you, but silent about how God loves you through his suffering and death on the cross at Calvary. I watched Joel Osteen's sermon from last week entitled, "Trouble is Temporary." Osteen's the pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, which had a pre-COVID attendance of over 50,000 people each week and 2 million watching online. During the pandemic now, he has around 4 million viewers online. This is awful. Osteen is a wolf in sheep's clothing. His Christianity is crossless Christianity. He preaches what people's itching ears want to hear. As usual in this sermon, nowhere in the sermon itself does Osteen even mention Jesus, let alone Jesus on the cross, suffering and dying to pay for your sins. His emphasis instead is that you need to keep a positive attitude, that trouble is temporary, so God will grant you favor because of your faithfulness and your obedience. This is crossless Christianity. There is not a cross in sight at Osteen's Lakewood Church, visually or in the sermon. Just God helping you to succeed as long as you have the right attitude. Jesus rebukes false teachers like Peter, Joel Osteen, like you and me when we lose sight of the cross. Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus tells us all, quit trying to be the leader. Quit trying to set the agenda. Quit rewriting the rules. Quit telling God how things should be. Get behind Jesus. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Deny yourself is not a message of success and achievement. Deny yourself means not indulging your sinful desires. Deny yourself means remaining steadfast through daily temptations, trials, and tests. Deny yourself means not having God look to your faithfulness and obedience, but looking to God's promises and faithfulness and to Jesus' obedience. It's looking to Jesus on the cross and not letting the horror of the cross prevent you from seeing the joy of the empty tomb. This life is full of ups and downs and twists and turns. It's not easy going, and it can feel like it's going to shake you apart. Hang on to Jesus. Do not let the trials, tests, and temptations of this life, including your own death, keep you from looking forward to the joy of your own resurrection. Follow Jesus all the way into eternal life with him in the heavenly city. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.